1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have had a few now sign up for our Israel trip. So it looks like that Israel trip is going to go this year. For those of you who have signed up, there will be a meeting for all of us next Sunday, 5 o'clock here at the church. And I also want to extend an invitation to those of you who are still thinking about it. You can still sign up. So if you would like more information about the Israel trip, you can talk to me after the service. Or come to that meeting this next Sunday at 5. Before we get into our study, I wanted to share with you another update from Paul Cox and his family. Cox prayer letter. Remember, they're the family that's in Benin, Africa. He works with Trans World Radio. They've been trying to get a transmitter up to broadcast the gospel. Dear family and friends, this is not the usual looking Cox prayer letter. Hopefully the clever creative publishing will be back next time. Both Paul, the graphic artist, and his nifty computer programs are working overtime right now. Literally, as I type, this is Don in it. Test transmissions. We are praying that by the time you receive this, TWR Benin will be broadcasting programs across West Africa. February 1st is the target date, and my understanding is that the gospel is now being broadcasted in Benin, Africa, to many, many different languages. Please pray for those hearing the broadcast that many will come to know the Lord. Please pray for protection and victory in the spiritual battles that are being fought. Please pray for rest for the team of workers here. We love you and could not be here without you. Donna for the Cox family. Isn't that nice? Father, we want to lift up Paul and Donna, their three precious children. We thank you, Lord, for the great work that you're doing through them. We do pray for protection for them. We pray, Lord, for the many, many people now that will begin hearing your wonderful gospel message in their native tongues. God, that you would do great work, that many would come into your kingdom through that effort. Now, Lord, I pray that as we turn our attention to your word, that you would speak to us. As always, Lord, we want to look to you for priorities in life. You've shown us the right way to live life in your word. It's a training manual. It's a life manual. I pray that we would be those people who would adjust our lives according to your word. So we ask that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Christian friendship, I think, is one of the greatest treasures that comes along with being a Christian. When a person gives their life to Jesus Christ and surrenders their lives to Jesus Christ, they gain many wonderful friendships in Christ Jesus. Friendships that you treasure. Many of you know my story. I became a Christian when I was 7 in Albuquerque at a Billy Graham crusade. And I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home. As I grew up, though, there was a period in my life where I rebelled against the Lord. I went into a backsliding state. And it was because I started hanging out with some people that weren't the best influence on me. About midway through my college career, I did return to the Lord, and I surrendered my life to the Lord at that time. And I got to tell you, one of the biggest changes that I experienced at that moment was in my friendships. My friendships changed. They got so much deeper, so much more productive in my life. I've always had a lot of friends. And even in that period when I wasn't walking with the Lord, I had some very good friends, some people that I would call brothers. Just great guys that I would hang out with. But I got to admit to you, looking back on that time, I would have to say that those friendships were very superficial. There was a lot of laughing. There was a lot of cutting up. There was a lot of talk about sports, the weather, the party last weekend, the party next weekend. And so there was a lot of that, but there was only that. When I surrendered fully to Christ, I still had a lot of that. If you know me, I love to cut up. I love to laugh. I love to have a great time. But I also gained friendships with people who were very solid, very sensitive, very smart people that live for different things. I remember meeting people who had mastered multiple foreign languages so that they could go to the mission field to meet Christ, to lead other people to Christ. Just the whole feel, the whole temperature of the friendships changed. Something very constructive. That Christian friendship is a treasure. Paul treasured his friends. The folks that he led to Christ in the city of Thessalonica became very good friends to him. And we're about to read a passage that has been called the most affectionate passage that Paul the Apostle wrote. And you're going to see how much he really appreciated these friends that he had in Thessalonica. And so I want to read through it very quickly this morning and just highlight various characteristics about Christian friendship. Beginning in verse 17, Paul says and writes to his friends, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." How did Paul refer to his friends in Thessalonica? What did he call them? Verse 17, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you." You know, that's how Paul usually referred to his Christian friends. In all of his letters, brothers, sisters, family. In fact, we've already seen in this letter that Paul has told them that he felt like a father to them, that he felt like a mother to them. Here in verse 17, when he talks about how he'd been taken away from them, having been taken away from you for a short time, he's using a word that literally means, "I felt like I was orphaned from you. When I had to leave your city so quickly, I felt like a kid being snatched from mom and dad." Brothers, sisters, a father, a mother, even kids. That's what the Christian friendship is all about. Did you know that? Christian friendship is family. And the love that we share as Christians is a family love. Very, very solid, very deep. Brother and sister in Christ, we are one in Christ. When you give your life to Jesus, you become a member of the household of God. You become a member of His body. And so listen, when you give your life to Jesus, you get saved, you get forgiven, but you also gain this wonderful, huge, awesome family. Tight-knit relationships. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and even many times, your relationship and friendship with other Christians can be deeper than even your blood relative relationships. You just get so close. You remember when Jesus was teaching a bunch of his disciples in a house and it was real crowded? And the gospel tells us that his mother, Mary, came to see him and his brothers. And somebody came to Jesus and said, "Hey, your mom and brothers are outside. They want to talk to you." Jesus, it says in Mark chapter 3, looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." The idea that that relationship spiritually can be closer than even the relationship that we have physically. And that is absolutely true. Now, I got to tell you, I stand before here and I consider myself a doubly blessed man. Because I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home and having a mom and dad that loved Jesus raise me in the ways of the Lord, and to have a brother that raised me and that was with me and helped me in the Lord. We're all Christians and I come from a family and I love that. And I got that awesome benefit. But I've even got extended family. I got other Christians that, man, have just become like brothers to me. Just, you know, some of you, we've been through so much together over the last 10 years. I feel like we've grown up together in the same house. We've just experienced so many things together. And that tight, tight fellowship, like fellowship between brothers and sisters. That's what it is. It's a family love. And I want you to know, maybe you who sit here this morning and you don't come from a very good Christian home, you can give your life to Jesus Christ this morning and you will get a family of people that love you and care for you and people that you can love and care for. It's an extended family. So it's a family love. It also says in verse 18 that Christian friendship is something that Satan hinders. Satan comes against it. Paul, as you know, had to leave Thessalonica very quickly. He was only in the city for a little while. And he leaves and he is wanting to get back to Thessalonica to see his friends. He loves them. He says, "Man, we have endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." We don't know how Satan hindered Paul. Paul doesn't say. Maybe a sickness, maybe some deal with the government. But all we know is that Satan hindered Paul from going to Thessalonica. He was trying to disrupt communications. Which actually was okay. Because this is actually pretty cool. Because Paul couldn't go to Thessalonica, he sat down and he wrote a letter to Thessalonica, didn't he? And most Bible scholars believe that 1 Thessalonians is the very first of his inspired letters that Paul wrote that makes it into the New Testament. And that as a result of not being able to go to Thessalonica, Paul began the practice of writing letters down to send to churches. And guess where those letters end up? In the New Testament. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, all these different... I love how Satan gets duped all the time. Let's keep Paul from getting to Thessalonica. So Paul begins to write letters. And by the way, Paul would be able to go to Thessalonica later. So it just seems like it was this time that God allowed so that letters could start to be written to the churches that would bless us. But just so you know, very important to understand, Satan will try to hinder your Christian friendship. He will try to disrupt your connection with other Christians. Your Christian friendships must be very, very important if Satan would seek to disrupt them. And he does. This word hindered, as I mentioned last week, we ran into that word last week. It's a military word. It means to blow up bridges. to blow up roads, to slow down the progress of an army that's advancing towards you. And this is exactly what Satan tries to do. He tries to blow up relationships, put obstacles in the path that hinder our friendships. And I want you to be aware of that. For some of you, you believe the lie that Satan whispers in your ear. I don't have time to hang out with other Christians. There's too much money to be made. Don't have time to really get involved at church. Don't believe that. You need a Christian friendship and you need to make that effort. And I believe also that Satan works very, very hard to get Christians mad at each other, to really disrupt things, to cause us to no longer trust one another, to misunderstand one another, and to create all sorts of problems in our channel of communication with one another. I've seen it so many times. Enough time has passed now that I can share this story with you. But this goes way back to when we were at the YMCA over 10 years ago. We had just started meeting on Sunday morning as a church at the YMCA. And there was a couple that began coming to our church, and they lived in Las Cruces. And so they began driving every Sunday to come down to go to our little church there at the YMCA. They had been a part of the other Calvary Chapel that was in Las Cruces, but they stopped attending that church and started driving down to our church. Well, at one point, this guy says to me, you know, I'd like to put an ad in the paper letting other people in Las Cruces know about the new church that's starting in El Paso. And I didn't think anything about it. I said, fine, go for it. He had put an ad in the paper, and I didn't know it, but come to Calvary Chapel, Sun City in El Paso. The church that's alive is worth the drive. I had not seen that ad. And the other Calvary in Las Cruces got word that this person who goes to our church now had put that ad in the paper. It gets worse. So the pastor cuts out that other article. Yeah, puts it in an envelope and writes me a letter. You know, and the letter basically says, we're really offended by this, and we'd really like you to do something about that. Well, that was right at that particular time, I was about to go on my very first trip to Israel. A 14-day trip out of town, out of the country. And so I gave another buddy at the church a key to our P.O. box, and I said, you need to check the mail while I'm out of town. He lost the key. That letter showed up in that P.O. box the day before I left for Israel. I didn't get the letter for about 2.5 weeks later. No mail was checked. And so this guy in Las Cruces is thinking, he's not responding. He's ignoring me. I got home and I got that letter and I got on the phone right away and called him, and I apologized for that ad. But I'm telling you, he let me know that tension was building. Man, just Satan through something like that just takes a little dart, takes out a bridge, just puts a big crater right in the... And I'll tell you what, I am so glad I was able to talk to him and get that straightened out. But do you see what can happen? Now, I guarantee you, some of you sit here today as Christians who have withdrawn from the church, who have withdrawn from other Christians because you've been hurt by some in the past. And it's caused you to shy back and not wanting to get involved. You know what? You've been duped by Satan. Some of the things that you got hurt over, probably complete, total misunderstandings, like a piece of mail got lost. I guarantee lots of times the things that we read into with our relationships with other people aren't there, right? Satan will do whatever he can to hinder us, to disrupt us. Keep that in mind. Notice that Paul also believed and looked at his friendship with those folks in Thessalonica from an eternal perspective. In verse 19, he says to them, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy." Paul's looking ahead to when Jesus Christ comes again, and he says, man, when Jesus comes again and you're there with me, that's my prize. That's my joy. That's my glory. See, that was Paul's passion. Paul wanted to bring as many people to heaven with him as possible. And he lived for that day when Jesus would come again and others would be standing there. Consider how wonderful that will be for those of you who share Jesus with people regularly. One day to be standing before Jesus Christ and to see others standing there with you who have come to Christ through your witness, through your influence. Can you imagine anything better? But Paul saw them from an eternal perspective, the idea that these are my friends for life. And that's the other thing that needs to be remembered about your friendships as a Christian. They're going to last forever. We got eternal friendships that are being made. There are never any permanent goodbyes for Christians. People might move and go to a different place, but hey, you're going to see them again. Death won't even separate us forever. Some may go to Christ, go to heaven earlier, but we will all be joined together one day. These friendships are eternal. We, as Christians, we're the only ones that can truly say, friends forever. Friends forever. We will... I was trying to think about that a little bit today as we were singing. One day, we're all going to be standing around the throne of God in heaven together, praising Him. These friendships last forever. I can't wait to see what some of you are going to look like in heaven. AJ in a halo. Won't that be awesome? Oh, we're going to... Man, me and my buddies, we used to say goodbye to each other this way. We'll see you again. We'll meet again here, there, or in the air. Here, sometime again on planet Earth. There, in heaven, if one of us goes. Or in the air at the rapture. When Jesus, if we're still alive and Jesus comes again, we're all going on a big ride together. So these friendships will never, ever, ever, ever end. You will never say goodbye permanently to a friend in Christ Jesus. Family love. Friends forever. Read a little bit further with me now as Paul continues. Chapter 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Notice here that Paul has a tremendous amount of concern for his friends in Thessalonica, doesn't he? In fact, at one point, he's extremely worried about them. He's anxious for them. Twice he says, we couldn't endure it any longer. We had to do something. What's his problem? What can't he endure? Well, again, he had only been in Thessalonica for a short period of time. He gets kicked out of the city. And ever since Paul got kicked out of the city, he hadn't heard from them. There had been no communication. See, in those days, there was no email, no text, no cell phones, no communication whatsoever. So he hasn't heard from that brand new church in Thessalonica since he's been kicked out of the city. And so he can't stand not hearing from them. So what does he do? He sends Timothy. He's willing to be left alone in Athens. And so he sends Timothy to go meet with his friends in Thessalonica. Now, what's he most concerned about for his friends there? Their spiritual condition, right? Their faith. There's two things he's worried about. Verse 3, he's worried that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent it. He had experienced persecution in Thessalonica. He had been kicked out. Paul was always experiencing affliction and tough things. And he knew that those people that had just become Christians in Thessalonica were also experiencing persecution. And he's concerned. He's wondering, how are they going to, hang tough through all these trials? Or are they going to walk away from their faith? He's worried about that. He's also worried about the tempter. I sent to you to know your faith, verse 5, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you. Who's the tempter? That's Satan. And Paul knew that as soon as he left the city, Satan would be there and begin tempting those brand new Christians to just walk away from the faith. And so Paul is anxious over that. He knows those two elements are in play. That's why he sends Timothy to establish them in the faith, build them up, and to encourage them in the faith. Paul was concerned, deeply concerned, with the spiritual health of his friends, with their faith. Same deal for us as Christian friends. Do you hear me? As friends in the Lord, we need to have such a tremendous concern for one another's spiritual walks. Health. Growth. We live in a day and age where we do have cell phones. And we do have email. And we do have text messaging. Some of you text a whole lot. Use those things to encourage your friends in Christ. In fact, I can see a very, very specific application for every one of us as Christians this morning. Right now, if you know any Christian in your life who is going through persecution, anyone who is going through a very, very difficult time right now, then I would say, as a result of being here this morning, you have an obligation to call them and try to build them up in their faith. If you know of anyone right now in your life who is being tempted, the tempter is at work. They're beginning to drift away. You have an obligation, I believe, to call them up, to encourage them, to build them up in the faith. We need to watch each other's backs, don't we? We need to hold each other up. encourage each other in the faith. And this morning, I want to make a formal appeal to all of you as the pastor of this church. I need help. I need help here. If you notice people who have regularly been attending this church all of a sudden stop attending the church, you don't see them, can you help me and go find out if they're okay? Would you notice those people? And would you go check up on them? You know, I used to try to do that all the time when our church was smaller, and I did that. But there's a lot of times I don't know, and there's been a couple of cases here recently where I know of people that have been in really, really hot spots in life, and I didn't even know about it. Let's show concern for each other. If you get in contact with somebody who hasn't been around regularly, find out how they're doing, and don't say, hey, Pastor wants to see you. You call up that person and you say, man, I've missed seeing you. And I want to know how you're doing. Now, you may find that everything's okay. They've just simply started attending another church, which is absolutely legitimate. But you may also find that they're hurting, that something has happened in their life which has started to alienate them from the church. And a call from you and a prayer. Will you help me with that? Will you notice your brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you reach out to them with me? There was great concern that Paul had for his friends. Spiritual concern. So he sent Timothy. Timothy went to visit them, and Timothy came back. And look what Timothy said. Verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now, look what Paul says. For now, we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. What a report, huh? You know, I can hear Paul sigh of relief. Timothy comes back and says, Paul, there's love in Thessalonica. Oh, yes, praise God. Paul, there's faith in Thessalonica. Oh, yes, praise God. Paul, they remember you and love you in Thessalonica. Oh, yes, praise God. Paul, they want to see you just as bad as you want to see them. Oh, yes. Praise God. Paul, the persecution is real. It's tough there in Thessalonica, but they're standing firm. Oh, yes. Praise God. Paul, the tempter has been there. The tempter is tempting, but they're standing firm. And Paul says, oh, yes. Praise God. And look at the effect that this news had on Paul. Verse 7, he says, in our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you. Now we live, he says, after getting that wonderful news. Then he goes to the Lord and he thanks God for what's happening in Thessalonica, and he's filled with joy. And, you know, Paul just got totally energized by this news, didn't he? That's what happens among Christian friends. That's what should happen among Christian friends. Listen, our friendships with one another are very, very positive influences. We rub off on each other. We greatly encourage one another, and we absolutely need one another. What happens when I see the Lord moving in your life, and I see what God's doing through your life, and how you're a witness at your work, and people coming to Christ through your life. I look at that, and it refreshes me. It gets me going. It energizes me. Oh, Paul told us that we should meet together regularly, that we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You know that when Christians get together, they spur one another on towards love and good deeds? They egg one another on. I dare you to be better for the Lord this week. We push each other. Iron, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We sharpen one another. We ignite one another. You know, it's been said, and I've probably used this before, but it's so good. All of us, like Christians, are like individual pieces of charcoal, little briquettes. And when we get together, we get all huddled up and then set afire by the Holy Spirit. Okay? When we're all grouped together, we stay hot, don't we? We stay close and sizzling for the Lord. When you take one coal out of the pile and put it over here, what happens to that little coal? It just goes out. We need to stay close together. Keep each other going in Christ. And that is one of the greatest, most wonderful benefits of Christian friendship. The wonderful, positive influence that we have on one another. I told you before as we opened about how my friendships changed so radically in college when I came back to the Lord. Yeah, I had a lot of good friends before, but after I came to Christ, my friendships became just so much greater. And by the way, I should also mention many of the people that I used to run around with before I came back to the Lord, they became Christians when I came back to the Lord. And my friendships with them grew greater than they ever were before. So these friendships just grow. But I got to tell you, very early on there, I met some folks that just changed my life. In fact, I've had three of my good friends here at this church regularly over the last 10 or 11 years. Paul Cox was one of the first guys that I met after I came back to Christ. You know what Paul and I did together? We prayed a lot together. We dreamed together. Sean Frazier, another guy that I've had here at the church many, many times. He's now a missionary in China. We support him as a church. He comes every year or so and shares. And then there was another friend of mine, a guy by the name of Mike Montgomery, who I've had in this pulpit two or three times. He and I also became friends at college right down the road there at New Mexico State just a few years ago. Right. He became a missionary in Budapest, Hungary. And now he's a full-time pastor on staff at Calvary Chapel in the Denver area. I've had all these three. I want you to know that me and those guys, we prayed together. We dreamed together. We'd encourage each other. We'd fan the flames. I was there when Sean got his call. I remember being called over to his dorm room. He was so excited. Hey, they've accepted me into the mission field. I'm going to China. They encouraged me so greatly in my ministry over the years. And then so many, many of you who have encouraged me in my walk with Jesus Christ. And if I've encouraged anyone here, then all the glory be to Him. Have you surrounded yourself with friends like that? Those friends that will encourage you to be the best that you can be in the career that you have? The best witness that you can be for Jesus Christ? Positive influences. And then very quickly, Paul did what he always did. He prayed for them, right? As he finishes out, he says, "Now may our God and Father," verse 11, "Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Paul prayed. Paul prayed for them. He prayed specifically, "Get us together, Lord. Get us all together again." And he prayed that they would increase in their love and in their walk with Jesus Christ. Prayer, what a wonderful ingredient to Christian friendship. Amen? You can pray for your friend. Oh, that's so wonderful. Do you have a Christian friend in your life? Let's say tomorrow you have a big day. You've got a major appointment. You've got something huge that's happening tomorrow in your life. In any area of your life. It could be business. It could be health. It could be anything. Do you have a person that you can call up and say, "Pray for me," and you know that they're going to pray for you? They're going to stand with you in prayer? And are you a friend like that to someone else? Just think. Having friends that can lift you up before the throne of the living God. Christian friendship. What a treasure. It's a family love. Friends for all of eternity. Tremendous concern for one another. Wonderful, huge, positive influences on one another and the element of prayer. Do you have those friends in your life? You know, for some of you, if things aren't going all that good in your life, you're a Christian, but you're not walking as a Christian like you know you should. One of the biggest reasons might be the company that you're keeping. You have got to surround yourselves with people who love Jesus Christ and who will encourage you in the faith. Father, I pray that friendships would blossom. Lord, how thankful we are for the amazing friendships that you can develop in our lives. Oh, Lord, for the incredible bond of love that you have set up among your people. Would you bless our friendships, Lord? For those that don't feel like they have good Christian friendships like that, I pray that you would bring those into their life. And that you would give each one here the guts, the courage to reach out. To get involved. Help us spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then, Lord Jesus, thank you for making it possible for us to be bound together. You know, Jesus is our best friend. Amen. He laid down his life for us, and because of what he did at the cross, we can be saved and forgiven and come into the family of God. So let's stand and we'll close. the praise song to the Lord Jesus Christ. All voices together as one happy family. Amen? Let's sing.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise 1,000 more to sing of the beauty.